Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. And here is the text of the marriage amendment that failed in the Senate, in the U.S. Senate. It's, here we have, resolved by the Senate and House of Representatives of the United States of America in Congress, assembled, two-thirds of each House concurring therein. That's what you would need to amend our Constitution, two-thirds of the House of Representatives and the Senate in Washington, and then it goes to the states to be ratified. But here is the section. The amendment has two sections. Section 1, short title, and Section 2, marriage amendment. The short title, this article may be cited as the, quote, federal marriage amendment. Okay, Section 2, marriage amendment. Marriage in the United States shall consist only of the union of a man and a woman. Neither this Constitution nor the Constitution of any state shall be construed to require that marriage or the legal incidents thereof be conferred upon any union other than the union of a man and a woman. All right, so marriage shall consist only of the union of a man and a woman. Right now, that seems, I don't know, that's a little radical. That's a little radical. I wonder where they got that from. Where in the world? What are we coming to? Where did they think this stuff up? Marriage, that's pretty obvious, right? But we live in a country where we're governed by politics and democracy. The majority rules, and the party, you know, the Republican Party, even to the Republican Party, that's too controversial. That's too judgmental. That's too intolerant. That marriage shall consist only of the union of a man and a woman. That's just too unreasonable. We can't even get all the Republicans to support that. So six of them voted against that. You want to talk about milquetoast? Six of them voted against that. Six of the Republicans. Why do I call them the Republicans? Well, you'll have to tune in to figure it out. Let's go to the phones. Our number is 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278. In Syracuse, New York, Robert, speak your mind.
Hi, Bob. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure thing. Welcome.
Thank you. I listen via KGov. I download the MP3s, listen on the web. So I don't get a chance to call in much because I listen to the show digital delay.
All right.
Call it.
Well, welcome. We're glad to have you. You know, I got a call in the studio after the show. Was it yesterday? From Atlanta, Georgia. And it was here. It was about 4 o'clock. You know, we do the show from 3 to 3:30 Mountain Time. 4 o'clock, I get a call. Somebody off the air calling about the show. And he said, yeah, I'm from Atlanta. And it sort of blew my mind. The show just ended. And the audience on the East Coast has already listened to it. I mean, this internet, it's an amazing thing.
Absolutely.
So that website is kgov.com. So what's on your mind, Robert?
Well, I had a number of things that I would love to discuss with you. And maybe I'll name them off, and you can decide which ones you want to comment on.
All right, sounds good.
Or we can talk about. Just about a year ago, I had my car vandalized outside my home.
All right.
It was smashed with a hammer in the middle of the night.
Oh.
It's a pretty new model car. They smashed the hood, right, the windshield, and all that.
Yeah.
And now just Monday night, my wife, her car was broken into, burglarized,
and
we caught the guys.
Oh, and you caught the guys?
The police caught the guys.
Now, that sounds interesting. All right, you have, what else do you want to talk about? I always like when the bad guys get caught.
Right. The other thing is, yeah. My wife, before we were married, she had an opportunity to be involved in helping lead a homosexual to repentance.
Wow.
And to
that's tremendous.
Trusting the Lord and coming out of the lifestyle.
All right.
Which, you know, I thought there was some interesting things there.
All right. I definitely am interested in that.
Especially with all the stuff that's going on. I think it's, you know, yeah. It's relevant.
Leading homosexuals to repent is so important for preserving our way of Christian life in America, because homosexuality and conservative Christianity tend to be mutually exclusive in public. If homosexuality is accepted, conservative Christianity society is increasingly intolerant of it. So, okay, what's next?
There's been a lot of talk about the whole issue lately, and, you know, we were talking about that, and we were talking about, we watched your video that you have available about witnessing to Terry's call.
Oh, the homosexual from Knoxville, Tennessee.
Right, and we watched that the other night.
Ooh.
And I just wanted to share with you.
All right, Terry's call. Well, I don't know which of these to pick. Is that it?
Anything else? There's one more thing here.
Oh, brother.
I'm going to be a topic hog today.
I'm going to start charging per topic. No, go ahead.
I wanted to – you put it on my KGov credit card.
Okay, cool.
I wanted to talk about the broadcast the other night. They had Chuck Colson, James Dobson. They talked about the homosexual marriage amendment, you know.
Okay. All right. So that was a TV special?
Right, exactly, yeah.
All right, let's Well, let's start with that and then maybe work backwards. Is there anything else?
Okay, no, that's it.
All right. Go ahead. So Christian leaders had a TV program on against homosexual marriage. So
right.
Yeah.
Now, one thing that you had mentioned on your show some time ago, I don't remember exactly when, was about you were just talking about the lack of moral clarity and how, you know, we try to attack as Christians and Christian leaders. We try to attack the issue from every direction except for the one that makes the most sense.
Except for the foundational position.
Right, and I'm watching this special the other night, and I'm excited to see, you know, such strong Christian leaders with such who've had so many successes like James Dobson.
Yeah.
And such a powerful influence on the culture and even the government to some degree.
Yeah.
It was exciting to see them up there, you know, professing our position and trying to rally Christians together. To help basically save our dying culture.
Right.
But I was really disappointed because they never really said the words homosexuality is wrong.
Mm.
And they never seemed to approach the issue directly from the moral foundation, you know, the moral position.
You know what's interesting about that? It's sad, and it's not that these guys think homosexuality is right. They obviously believe it's a sin, but we've been pointing out for years that our political leaders are scared to death of homosexuals. And they're so intimidated, they'll oppose homosexual marriage, but they're scared to death to say homosexuality is wrong.
I think they can't utter those words. The biggest part of it, too, is I think that sometimes as Christians, we try to use tactical maneuvers to stay in the game. And, you know, thinking somehow, fooling ourselves, lying to ourselves, that will help us, you know, win for our side. But it really doesn't, because we just keep giving up more and more ground.
Right. This stuff tends to backfire. And so if they were, how long was this program? Was it a?
It was about 2 hours long, I think.
2 hours?
Right.
Now, I could see if you have like a 3-minute soundbite and you're arguing why homosexuality is wrong, it could be. You know, it's a huge strategic mistake not to point out why gay marriage is wrong, that it's wrong and it's a sin. But in two hours, how could you not say it's wrong even by accident?
I think that people are afraid of being labeled as being bigots.
Right.
And
fundamentalists.
Exactly.
So what if they'd never said that it was wrong, and again, undoubtedly they believe it was wrong.
Right.
But if they didn't say it was wrong, what were they saying? And let me make a prediction that the arguments that they were making against homosexual marriage, if the primary argument is not homosexuality is wrong, it's a sin, and therefore, of course, homosexual marriage, it should not be permitted or tolerated, because homosexuality itself should be criminal, and it's a sin, it's destructive, then my guess is the arguments they were making – are very weak. Tell me Do you remember? What arguments were they making?
Well, he did mention the, I think some of the statistics about, you know, the results of children not growing up in two-parent homes.
All right.
I think that was one thing.
All right, let's talk about that, right? Instead of God has told us that homosexuality is an abomination, it's a perversion, it's wrong, and so if we're going to love our neighbor, we have to stop them from approving of homosexuality. It's wrong. Instead of that, so one argument they made was statistics. Well, what if the KKK could come along and show the statistics of kids growing up in black families? They don't do nearly as well as in white families. So then would the conservative Christians say, okay, we have to outlaw blacks marrying one another because look at the statistics.
Right.
I mean, that is not the fundamental reason why homosexuality is wrong.
See, and that's why...
Marriage, that's not why, but go ahead.
That's why it was so disappointing, because when we take that moral, you know, that relative position, like I remember James Dobson, and I think he mentioned this too, several years ago, was taking a position on equal rights for homosexuality.
Oh, brother, that was, we were big in that, because that was a Colorado thing, Amendment 2.
Right.
And Colorado for Family Values and Focus on the Family, they were opposed. Their slogan was equal rights for homosexuals, not special rights. They taught, you know, and I love James Dobson because of, like you said, he's brought more people to the Lord than Bob and Yurt Live or Denver Bible Church will ever do. And so I have love and respect for him, but that doesn't mean he's infallible. And when they took the Christian leadership in America and when they taught Christian leaders that equal rights for homosexuals should be our policy, they took 3,500 years of Judeo-Christian history and just kicked it in the face. Because for 3,500 years, certainly before that too, but from Moses through the prophets, through Jesus Christ in the New Testament and the apostles, through our founding fathers, homosexuality was criminal. It's not just a sin. It's criminal. Just like rape is not just a sin, it's also a crime. And so now you have the Christian leaders doing more to advance the gay agenda than any queer nation or homosexual group could ever hope of accomplishing by teaching tens of millions of Christians that homosexuals should have equal rights. And here we are 10 years later. So what do the homos want to do? They want to get married. Because they, according to James Dobson and Chuck Colson and Beverly LaHaye, they should have equal rights. It drives me nuts.
Yeah, and it's destructive because it puts us in a position where we're not being consistent because now we're saying that there shouldn't be equal rights in that particular area. And
right.
I think the other issue, which is probably even much, much worse, is that I think homosexuals, they don't realize why we're against what they're doing.
Right.
Because they look at us and they see us not taking a position of moral clarity, but they see us just being against them and opposed to them in whatever way we can find ourselves comfortable at the time.
Right, right. So what other reason, if they didn't come out and say homosexuality is wrong, it's a sin, it's been a crime for 3,500 years, certainly we shouldn't approve of homosexual marriage, we need to oppose it on these grounds. God has told us it's an abomination. What else? So they said statistics. What other reasons did they argue against, if you could remember?
He did make a really powerful argument that he said that in Canada, I believe, you know, he said many pastors there are not really sure if they can legally preach on against homosexuality because of some of the laws, the anti-hate laws up there,
right,
that even pastors of churches at the pulpit may not be able to legally preach on Romans 1:1.
Yeah, there were radio stations that wanted to air Bob and Yurt Live, TV stations, for a decade in Canada, and the general managers said they were in fear that they would be shut down for violating Canada's anti-hate speech laws.
Yeah, and he even pointed out that the very show that they were broadcasting at the time would not be legal in Canada.
Yeah, so
and he said that, you know, if homosexual marriage is is protected by law.
Well,
and the next natural step is to make any speech against homosexual marriage.
Well, you know what? If homosexuals should have equal rights, like, say, blacks should have equal rights, and Jews should have equal rights, Italians, well, not the Italians, too. All right, the Italians, too, should have equal rights. Okay, we agree with that. But so if you're going to have some show saying Jews should not be allowed to reproduce, well, of course, that would be repulsive. And the national, the airwaves that we share, the government shouldn't allow someone to get on the air, the public airwaves, and say blacks should not be allowed to marry.
Right.
So it's a reasonable development. If you say homosexuals should have equal rights, then it's a reasonable development what's happening in Canada.
Of course, it is backwards here in the United States, because my guess is, you know, the progression of things would be that anti-homosexual speech would become illegal, but anti-Christian speech and,
will be subsidized by tax dollars.
They would still be protected.
Right. Yeah. All right. So anyway, so the show was a little bit discouraging. You know, we've pointed out on the air how Focus on the Family, Chuck Colson's Prison Ministries, Concerned Women for America, these groups and other Christian leaders have all come out and affirmed the right to conduct yourself in homosexual behavior, which is so discouraging because it was a crime. And that's why those same organizations have completely accepted the decriminalization of adultery and the decriminalization of pornography. So Focus on the Family today, their national policy is you have a free speech right, a First Amendment right to produce pornography, sell it, buy it, consume it. You know, they'll talk about child porn or obscenity, but they do not remind people that it should be against the law to traffic in human sexuality, that sexually exploiting people should be illegal. Focus on the Family, the entire Christian leadership in America has become pro-choice on pornography and adultery.
I was just waiting for him to say, you know, and state very clearly, you know, homosexuality is wrong. And I just imagined the entire crowd of 10,000 that was in attendance.
Yeah.
Standing up and cheering.
They would have.
And I think it would have been so
powerful,
powerfully evangelistic to say, look, this is a behavior that's destroying the lives of millions of people.
Right.
And God was so wise when he said it's an abomination.
Right.
It's not an arbitrary thing that God made up.
Right.
Let
me tell you, so first, our conservative Christian leaders accepted that adultery should be decriminalized. And maybe they thought that would send more people into their churches suffering through the pain of divorce. I don't know what. But they just allowed it. Adultery is decriminalized. Fine. Our Christian leaders don't even remember that it was a crime for 3,500 years. They don't know it. They don't know it's a crime in the New Testament. They don't know it. And they accepted the decriminalization of pornography, the legalization of the sexual exploitation of women and men. And so now they've accepted the decriminalization of homosexuality. And it's because our Christian leaders are not grounded in the Word of God. They don't know what to do about it. They say, well, if it was a crime, what do you do about it? They don't know. They're confused. So they have a hard time defending the death penalty from the pages of the New Testament. So our Christian conservative movement is crumbling. We're becoming increasingly worldly with every decade. I mean, our Christian leaders. Not that they don't love God. They love God, but they're so confused. All right. Let's not depress the audience any further. So that was that show.
Right.
What else have you, what else in your viewing habits, what else have you guys watched?
Well, you know, with the whole thing kind of being on the tip of everyone's tongue lately, it seems to be, you know, being discussed a lot, at least amongst our friends. We started, talking about certain things, and, you know, my wife had a friend that she helped lead, before we were married, to come to the truth about that lifestyle.
You mean a homosexual friend?
Absolutely. And the way that it worked out was, you know, basically she really got into the Word, and there's some scripture passages that tell us not to have close fellowship with anyone who calls himself a Christian.
Who is sexually immoral.
Exactly.
Shacking up together, things like that.
Exactly. And I know that in her life, and, you know, one of the things that impresses me most about her is her faithfulness to God and her desire to, you know, to deny herself and her feelings.
Right.
And to just to step out in faith and follow God's ways as he's laid them out for us in the body of Christ.
Right.
And having done that and basically told this person, you know, here's what the Bible says. And
so your wife, before you married her, said to this homosexual guy who's claiming to be a Christian, she said, I can't fellowship with you.
Right.
Because you're a homo.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, that's a no wonder you married her.
Yeah, and I think it was within 48 hours that this person started sharing a testimony of deliverance.
Wow.
From that lifestyle. And
so this guy repented.
He did.
And 2 days before, your future wife said, as a Christian, I'm not going to fellowship with you because you're claiming to be a believer and you're an open homosexual.
That's right.
Praise the Lord for your wife's faithfulness to God.
And
that's so great.
And to my knowledge, this guy is still, you know, involved in, you know, trying to minister to other people, and you know, has continued in his repentant path.
Good.
Away from that lifestyle.
Praise the Lord! I'm thrilled to hear it. That's
absolutely
great. All right.
And
that's just that's another example of when God in the Bible says, you know, church discipline, basically. If there are people who claim to be Christians and they're shacking up together, every church in America should disfellowship that couple and tell them they're not allowed to attend the church. Because otherwise you're telling them, look, we expect this to the woman. You're saying, look, we expect you to be a tramp. And so you could come here because we hope you put money in the collection plate. Right, but churches, if they honored God and loved their neighbor, they would tell a couple that claims to be a Christian and they're living in an immoral life, they would say, you need to repent. It's wrong. You got to get married or separate. And if they say no, they say, well, then we are going to disfellowship you.
You know, and it's the same basic symptom that we have, you know, with the previous topic, is that the problem we get into is we end up telling the world what they want to hear instead of reflecting Jesus Christ.
Mm. Yeah, church discipline. Wouldn't it be great if the 10 biggest Christian leaders in America spent a month teaching all of us we need to go back to church discipline where the church will not tolerate this kind of open immorality ongoing in the church? Mm. But instead, we have an epidemic of pastors having affairs. Youth ministers having affairs with the choir director's wife. And one missionary told me the church that sent him out to Korea, the church that sent him out fell apart when the senior pastor had an affair with the youth minister. And the youth minister was a guy. It was a homo affair.
Ugh.
So that's, of course, that's where we're headed, right?
I thought you were going to say the pastor was a woman.
Right. That believe it or not, that wouldn't have been as bad. But anyway, okay, so...
Well, you know, we were kind of discussing that, and I remembered that I had this video that you guys sent me a long time ago of a show that you did when you were on TV when you took a call from, I think the guy's name was Terry Johnston.
Terry Johnston from Knoxville, Tennessee.
And you basically started out the show mocking homosexuality.
Right.
And the guy called in to rebuke you or something, or to say what a jerk. He said you were a poor excuse for a human being, excuse me.
That I was a poor excuse for a human being.
Right. And he started to rail some accusations against you.
Yeah.
And
so here's a homosexual, a caller to a show. He'll probably hang up in 1 minute, and I have maybe 1 minute to try to get him to repent and get him saved.
Right.
So instead of telling him I love him, which would have made my whole crew throw up, because I'm so sick of love, I can't take it anymore. I told him that he was a filthy pervert. Now, I'm just going back 10 years in my memory, but we still sell the video, Terry's Call. It's a great video. You can get it online at kgov.com, or call us at 1-800-8-NYART. But I told him that he was a filthy pervert, and I wouldn't let my children near him as a homosexual. And so he and I went at it, and in my recollection, about 15 minutes into it, he started to choke up and almost started to cry when I told him the guys that have been with him, that they didn't love him, they used him. And he broke down at that point, and he said, "That's true." And I said, "And Terry, you didn't love them, you used them." And it turns out he was dying of AIDS. And he said everyone he knew in Knoxville was a homosexual, including everyone at his church. So Cheryl and I, Mamie and a few friends, sent him money to come to Denver to live out by us, go to our church, and he died on the way. But he had become a Christian. So you guys saw that video, huh, Robert?
Yeah, I thought it was a wonderful example of Christian love, because you basically looked at this guy's sin and you said, you know, and you pointed out all of the ways that it's destructive to him and it's destructive to, as you pointed out, how it had been destructive.
Right.
And how it's generally destructive. And he saw through to the truthfulness of your argument. And
right.
Because of that, I think he lined it right up with God's word. And I think that the wisdom and the truth that the Bible shares with us is so powerful that I think it does.
So women, Robert, women tend to be not quite as harsh or confrontational as men.
Right.
So more men than women like Bob and Yurt Live. More men than women go to Denver Bible Church. It's a man's man. It's a man's church. And so what did your wife think?
She really loved the video.
Wow.
Yeah, she commented after we saw it. She said she thought it was great. And, you know, and I think that part of it was probably, you know, her experience.
Wow. Right, because she saw firsthand that tough love works.
Plus, if you know, people get hung up sometimes, I think, on the confrontation. And
right.
They don't look through to see what's really taking place.
Right. Now, Robert, we're about out of time. Whoever broke into your wife's car, how'd they get caught?
The police did catch him. I called him basically right after it happened. I didn't see it happen, but I heard him running away.
What time was it?
It was about 1 in the morning. I was up reading, and I just heard feet run past my house after I heard like a thumping noise.
Oh.
When I went outside and looked, I saw the window all smashed out.
Whoa.
So I called the police, and they were already in response to... apparently, these guys broke into another car a few blocks away.
Wow.
And so they were already on their way. And when they got my call, they figured it was a fresher call. And they did catch the kids. It was two 15-year-olds and a 12-year-old.
Oh.
Now, the one 15-year-old has apparently been arrested multiple times this summer on even greater charges.
What a shame. Because what happens, Robert, we're out of time. I want to thank you so much for your call. But our juvenile justice system is a joke. It lowers the thresholds for kids to become criminals. They get in trouble and they find out it's no big deal and they become really bad criminals. So we need to punish kids just like adults, and we'll have fewer kids being criminals. Come to Denver Bible Church.